This is episode 22. Our season continues as we dive into relationships. This week, love is kind.
Hello, hello, hello. We're just two normal dudes trying to live this Jesus life. My name's... My name's Josh, not Joshua Boobies, as my script says.
My name's Andrew, and we are This Jesus Life Podcast.
Andrew, see, these are the things we would miss out on if we recorded an intro and played it each time, as our
totally
editor
right.
would love us to. See, we would have missed that I'm Joshua Boobies. When did you change that? I didn't even notice it. Till
just before we started, I wanted funny. You to have an Anchorman moment.
That's funny. Well, I don't usually read it, but I started in the intro, and then I saw boobies on the screen, and I was like, not real boobies, just the word boobies. I was like, wait, what is this? And I was like, oh, he changed the script.
I'm crying, man. As you were going through it, as you were starting to say it, I could just see in your mind that you had just read it, and you were trying to keep it together so hard. We're keeping this. We're keeping all of this. It's so funny.
The funny thing is... You try to do this on a regular basis. Something's changed. And I usually catch it beforehand, not when I've already started. But, Andrew, how are you, dude?
I'm doing great, man. And I'm feeling better after a good laugh. You know, I've had it's on Thursday when we're recording this because we're trying to get ahead a little bit. We're doing two episodes this week. And, man, I've had just like a quiet day. Getting a lot of stuff done without many meetings. Nice. So I've had no big laughs. So I needed that. How are you there doing, you man?
I'm doing well. I got a question for you, though.
You do?
Would you rather be in jail for a year or lose a year off your life?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, clarifying question. Do I know that I lost a year off my life? Like, do I have to say, okay, now I have one less year? Or do I just, like, not know and live my normal life?
Right before you were supposed to die, a year before you're supposed to die, the day before, you were notified you were dying tomorrow because year has been knocked off your life.
Because of the choice you made like years
because
ago during
made.
This would you rather. Wow.
Yeah. So you could be in your 80s. You could be in your 50s if you die young. I don't know. But whenever you're supposed to die, you were notified a year and a day before. So you have 24 hours, essentially, to come to terms with the fact
that
you're about to die.
I think I would actually – I'd still go with that. I would rather have 1 year less in my life because then, you know, it's just kind of like you at least have 24 hours notice. You're going to die.
That's true. And you know it's coming eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And if you make it to a certain age, like if you're 75, you're like, I know I got a year less, but – I've lived a full life. I'm pretty good, you know?
You probably live your life in a better way, too, knowing that I might not have next year, so I got to, like, make the most of it now. And who wants to go to jail? It sounds miserable.
Seriously.
I've always had this thought of, like, Jesus, if I have to go to jail, I'm sorry, but for that time that I'm in prison, I'm not going to live by your commands or your life, and I'm going to shank the first person I see.
you'd be a shanker, huh?
You have to be. You gotta defend yourself.
You do. You have to really create a reputation quick.
Yeah. So I've watched enough prison movies that
you know how it goes. Josh, would you rather be in a crowded room and fart and have everybody laugh at you loudly? Ooh. Or be the only person laughing obnoxiously when someone else farted in that crowded room?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'd probably go first one. Crowded room, I fart, everyone laughs at me.
Everybody laughs at you.
Rather than me laughing at everybody else. I'd rather be humiliated than be seen as the asshole.
Yeah, because the scenario of you being the only person laughing is probably like 90-year-old grandma farts loud and you're the only one laughing, you know, where everybody's like, come on, Josh, like, you know, she can't help it. And you can't.
Well, you can like play that off, be like, go grandma. Like, I think there's a way to, I don't know, I might go with the latter one if that's the situation. I might be able to play that one off.
Like, either guys, way,
like, that's not funny.
It's not.
Grandma
a great
just
day,
sat
way.
Down and it sounded like she sat on a mouse. Like, come on.
Oh, that's funny. Andrew, yeah. Oh, but you're actually rather... at Grandpa's funeral is the problem.
It was that Grandpa that farted.
No, no, it's Grandma, funeral. But you're at Grandpa's funeral.
I think it'd be funny if the dead guy farted. You're like, ah.
It's true.
How does nobody else hear this? All right, Andrew, would you rather be forced to dance every time you heard music, like full-out dance, not just like a little wiggle?
Right,
or
right.
Be forced to sing a song or sing along to any song you heard? To,
oh,
like,
gosh.
Full-blown, like, Celine Dion belt it.
Oh, my gosh. I would have to go with the dance.
I don't know why I picked Celine Dion. That's, like, so outside of my...
But yeah, you're normal. Well, you are a Dion fan for sure. I would go with the dance. Like, both of those are terrible, but the dance, at least you can like be dancing real hard and just slide out of the room and then kind of pop back
That's
in
true.
When the song's
That's
done.
True.
With the
and
singing,
you probably would have
like,
to dance. You'd have to dance to the style of the song too. So you just be a really good dancer. You got them all down.
Yeah,
so you got some like country western and.
Got my country jangle going, got my disco, got my... Yeah, totally. I'd dance. You know. Yeah, not why bad. Not? Why not? Oh, man. We do... we sing all the, like, goofy songs all the time around our house. And something fun is that Catherine has picked it up. So she'll just sing nonsense songs all the time that she's, like, making up. And it's pretty fun.
That's
fun. Yeah. That's Don't get me wrong. She sings stuff like Let It Go from Frozen all the time.
Let it go.
But then sometimes she'll just be putting her shoes on and be like, shoes on my feet. You know, it's pretty funny. It's a good time.
That's cute.
It's a good time.
That's cute. Yeah. We have a video of my niece who's now, she just had a birthday. I think she's like 23-ish. Yeah. Something like that. She's younger than Nathan, and Nathan's like 25, 26. I'm sorry if you're listening to this, Gabby. I should know how old you are. But we have a video of her when she was like maybe 3 at best, sitting on the toilet because she had to go to the bathroom, and my sister was filming her, and she didn't want my sister to stop filming her, so she's filming her on the toilet. And my sister's like, this is weird. Like, do something. In the video. So she starts singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Stars. And she's all twinkle, twinkle.
That's so good.
So good.
That is awesome. So good.
I should probably apologize for sharing that story, Gabby, if you're listening. That's probably worse than the fact I don't know how old you are.
That is much worse.
I don't know. Gabby seems to own it. I think she likes it.
You know, and when you're 3, you can't control any of that. Oh, you know,
so funny.
You're a 3-year-old. It's all good.
So
oh,
funny.
My gosh. Well, speaking of needing to apologize like 6 times at the start of the episode, we're talking about love being kind today.
Love is kind.
Love is kind. Josh, why are we talking about this?
We're talking about this because this is the next characteristic of love that Paul described for us in 1 Corinthians 13. And if we're going to be great at relationship with those around us, we have to be great at love. And this is how we do it. So last episode, if we haven't had a chance to listen to it, go back. We talk about love being patient and some practical steps on how do you actually live that out. And then this week we're talking about love is kind. And I think a big thing with kind is there's this misconception of the word kind that you are just super bubbly and nice. That's what kind is. And I think we'll get into some nuances of or different definitions of what kind could be and how it can be defined for the sake of others in our lives as we do relationship well. But speaking of love is kind, We're in the middle of a presidential election.
Yes.
Where I think we're a little over 30 days. So I think
right November 2nd, month.
I think. Yeah. So we're like 32 days, 33 days. And we just had the first debate of, I believe, three a couple of nights ago. And I would describe it as kindness. I think
kind.
Both Trump and Biden were very kind to one another and supported each other and talked about the issues.
Yeah, everybody watched it just was talking to me about, like, that was the nicest, kindest debate I've ever seen.
You're like, how am I going to be able to choose between two guys that just are such nice, kind people?
Two teddy bears.
Yeah. I think at one point, one candidate called the other candidate stupid, not directly, but in a roundabout way. And another candidate told the other person to shut up.
Trump, Biden said to Trump, "You're the worst president we've ever had," straight up. At one point, and Trump, just made fun of him. Trump made fun of his son for having a drug issue, like all this stuff, man.
Yeah, there was nothing that was off limits. That is for sure.
It was bad.
And no substance at all. I don't think any real question was asked, and I don't think any real answer was given. It was an absolute waste of time.
It was a crap show.
We all watched it anyways because that's what you're supposed to do. But you had some thoughts on the debate.
Yeah, I did. I was thinking about it. I got to have a really cool conversation with a group of people I work with about the debate yesterday, because the debate was the night before. We're filming two episodes this week so we can get a little bit ahead. So I know if you're listening to us, it's probably like 2 or 3 weeks from now, but it just happened. You can think back a couple weeks. But
and there's going to be another one here pretty soon. So what we say now is probably going to apply to that one as well.
Most likely. No, I was talking with some people I work with and had a really great discussion, just kind of hearing reactions to the debate. And, as we were having that conversation, the takeaways were things Trump said some racist stuff, because I did pick up some of that. Trump was really mean to Biden. Biden really hates Trump. It's super clear. And they were very unkind to each other the whole time. And it felt like watching, my takeaway was, if I were in a conversation like that and I was being interrupted that much and it was just that hateful, I'd just stop that conversation. We wouldn't be friends, but overall, something cool happened. I felt like the Holy Spirit kind of revealed something to me that I wanted to share with you. And as we were having that discussion, I had this thought just hit my mind of God set it up to be different than this. And I immediately thought of Samuel, where it's actually 1 Samuel 8, because I looked it up, where God, the Israelites back in the day are saying, Samuel, who was the prophet to Israel, kind of leading them towards God in that time, said, Samuel, give us a king. You're getting really old. Your sons aren't walking in the way you walked. We need a leader and we want to be like the other nations. Give us a king. And Samuel gets mad at them and he's praying and talking to God and saying, they want a king. They don't need a king. You're their king. And God says, Samuel, they're not turning their back on you. They're turning their back on me. Give him a king, but tell him what it's going to mean, So, he says to the people, and I'm paraphrasing all this. He says basically, all right, people, if you want a king, here's what it's going to mean. He's going to take your sons and daughters. He's going to send them to war. He's going to take your wealth. And he's going to use it for his means. He's going to take a tenth of your grain, tenth of your animals. And he's going to kind of rule over you. And he's going to see it as, this is my destiny to rule over you. This is my, not even destiny, but my right as a king. And he tells the people all of this and they still say, yeah, we want a king. We still want a king. Of course we do. We want to be like everybody else. And the reason I say all that, it kind of framed around this idea of a debate, is that I think it still holds water. I think it still is true that, like, we live in the kingdom of God here and now. Like, Jesus tells us we live in the kingdom of heaven right now, you know? Like, it's here. And we need to believe that and behave like it's true. So all that to say, I think that thing of, like, you don't need a king. You need to follow God. You need to obey God and live in a way that he wants us to live. I think that's true. And I think a lot of people before us, but a lot of people right now would still say, give us a king, give us a president in our, you know, in our country, in our normal, give us a president. Because we want that. We want to be like the other nations. We want to be seen the same. We definitely wouldn't say as a nation, no, we don't need a king. We just need God. You know, that's not what we would say. But yeah, I just felt like God kind of revealed that to me of, like, hey, this, it's because it's not working my perfect plan. You know, like, it's not going the way it should be going necessarily. So I don't know. That's my two cents around debate stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we put a lot of faith in our elected officials over our faith in God himself. So in all reality, say the candidate that you're not voting for wins the election. Mm-hmm. Could bad come from that? Yeah, it's definitely possible. And can good come from it? 100%. But does it change your position with God himself? And does it change God's authority and power inside? So it's really a piece of faith of, like, even if my country goes to crap, and everything falls apart because the leaders have just led poorly, is God still in control? And where am I going to put my faith? And yeah, you're voting because you're trying to avoid something and you agree, align yourself more with one candidate over the other. I think where Christians get into trouble, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but we take this idea of covenant theology with Israel, and God made a commitment not with an individual but with a nation, and we take that idea and we continue to apply it to our nation, and that covenant doesn't exist anymore. That covenant was fulfilled through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The new covenant is a covenant between God and the individual, so everything changed, and I think we still try to apply those old covenant theology to our nation. We're God's nation. You know, the United States was built on Christian values. Whether that's true or not, and you could read, different historians are going to tell you different things. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Hmm. Like, God doesn't look at the United States as, I'm going to bless them or curse them based on what they're doing.
Right.
No, that's not the covenant anymore. The covenant's individual. So it really has nothing to do with our nation at all. Our nation can do whatever the heck it wants to do and continue to live. And God's going to curse and bless as he sees fit, and not based off even our actions, as Jesus told us, right? He's going to send rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. Mm-hmm. So I think we connect our political agendas, parties, preferences with our religion. And I think they are two separately. That you're putting them on equal ground and they're not equal. Like, here's my relationship with Jesus way up here. And here is my fact that I'm a citizen of the United States down here. They're not close to each other. And I think we get caught up in that.
I totally. And we did the whole episode a while back. I should know the name of it, but I don't, of kind of like old covenant, new covenant, and broke a lot of that down. Everything is new. That's right. Yeah, I think the idea still holds water of, like, you know, they're not turning their back on you, person of God. They're turning their back on me. You know, I think that still holds water. And, like, with what Jesus said of, like, whose face is on that coin? Caesar's. Yeah. Okay, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. You know, like, I think it still carries weight.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, how do I put this? I think that's the other piece of this is you're expecting here Trump and Biden, who are neither of them are well, Trump's going to tell you he's a believer, but whether he is or not, that's between him and God, yeah. I guess. But I would argue from his actions, I don't see fruit. But you're trying to put your morals and your Christian standard and how we try to live this life as followers of Jesus, inside relationship with Jesus, on two individuals that aren't. Mm-hmm. Can have whatever moral standard they choose to have. And now you're in this weird round of like, well, I can't vote for that individual. He's an asshole. Well, what does him being an asshole have anything to do with, like, you should be voting on policy in all reality, not if he's an asshole or not. Yeah. Because the chances of being an asshole are pretty high, mainly because Christians are still assholes. And we have direct access to Jesus. So those that don't have direct access to Jesus, why would you expect them to be anything other than something that you don't want to be? Like, I don't know. I think there's that piece of it too, that you just, and we'll say this too, we're making comments from two individuals that are hyper political. Like, I would argue Andrew and I love politics. We know the policies. We're right in the middle of it.
We both do.
And and we know who we're voting for and why we're voting and all those types of things. Yet we can still take this stance of like, does it really matter in the long run? It matters as me as a citizen. It does not matter me as a follower of Jesus.
Exactly. And it's that order we confuse, and maybe bringing it back to kindness a little bit. Like, I think anytime we start to get the order of things that matter in our lives confused, then we start making the wrong choices. Like, because if to me in this moment, politics is more important than my relationship with Jesus, or is it more important than my marriage, more important than me being a good dad, more important than my job, more, you know, go down the list. If politics starts bumping up and becomes the second most important thing in my life, the first most, then I'm going to start making some really bad choices. Like, And anytime, like, I don't know, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, but anytime we would start to say this presidential race is more important than more people coming to know Jesus, this presidential race is more important than whatever, you know, we're missing the boat so badly, it's not even funny. Like, we can pray for our leaders. We can pray for people in politics. Yeah. We can pray that God reveals himself even through evil actions, that God would be revealed through the leaders of the nation, that whatever, like, he's in control. I'm not. Yeah. And I got to be cool with that. But yeah, man, there was a lot of unkindness shown and a lot of stuff where it's like, well, that sucks that those are the, you know, those are two choices. One of them is going to be president in a couple months here. So it sucked to see that, but that doesn't define me as somebody living in this country. It certainly doesn't define me in the way that I view myself through my relationship with God, you know? So,
I think a lot of our identity comes from who we vote for as well as Americans.
Yeah, it should. I think it's politicians, their representation
of us.
Yeah.
And it's just a horrible position to find yourself in. Like, I don't want the people I vote for to be a representation of me. Not in the sense that they represent me and my identity as a human being. I do want them to represent me in the sense that I'm an American and I want them to represent the policies that I believe they stand for. But beyond that, like, I align, and I think we've talked about this before, I align more with the Republican platform than I do the Democratic platform. I probably lean more central than most Republicans do, but I can vote for Trump and not think to myself, oh, like, he's a great person, he's going to be a great leader. No.
Yeah, you don't have to deceive yourself into this. He's 100% a righteous man.
Yeah, he's 100% a bully, but he's also pushing through the agenda that I want pushed through. So how he's doing it does not need to necessarily be, because my two options kind of both suck. Like, I'd rather not vote for either of them if I had a better option. But you know, I know Kanye's on the Colorado ballot, so that's a great win for us. But I don't think he's going to win the election.
In Pennsylvania.
I don't know. And let's get back to the kindness conversation too.
Yeah.
Man, when politics enters the picture, kindness goes right out the window.
Oh, dude, 100%.
Right? Like, right out the window.
It's back to that prison shank analogy of, like, I got to prove that I'm not to be messed with. You know, that's like politics all day. Is if you hit me, I got to hit you 10 times harder. You know, like, and when we think about kindness, like, you started to mention this a little bit, but, like, if I were looking to politicians, if that's my defining thing in my life of this is most important, I want to focus on politics right now because it's election season. Then I start to say, well, how do they display kindness? How do they display love? How do they display trust? How, you know, like you can start modeling your life after that, and it just is going to take you. Like, who wants to be a politician, man? It's so dirty. It's, like, slimy. Oh, I know, you're always lying. You're saying one thing, doing another. But when you start saying, okay, what does it mean to be kind as a Christian? Like, you kind of laid this out where sometimes you could just think it means being super agreeable or always really friendly or smiling all the time. But you look at Jesus's example of kindness, and all throughout the New Testament, Jesus would, like, be noticing the people no one else wanted to notice. Like, he would, he'd be literally walking up to people with leprosy who you're supposed to be, like, I think the rule was like 100 feet from, like, they were supposed to stay far away from people.
That's some social distancing right there.
He would break social distancing big time, straight up walk up to them and heal them. And, like, he did that on many occasions. He would notice the people who were the outcasts of society. So to them, they'd be like, he's the kindest, most compassionate person I've ever interacted with. I would think they would say that. Now, if you're a Pharisee, if you're one of the religious leaders of the day, that was like, maybe, I assume not all of them were bad, but there were quite a few that were bad. Jesus was not kind to them. Maybe he was kind because he was honest with them, and he was honest with them in front of people of, like, you guys aren't leading people towards God. You're leading people towards you, and you're doing it for money, power, fame. You're doing it for to be noticed, to be invited to parties. You're not doing your job right, you know, and he'd call them out. And if you ask them, is he kind? They'd probably be like, dude's the biggest jerk ever. We need to kill that guy. We're trying to kill that guy. We tried a bunch of times, and eventually it worked. But yeah, man, it's interesting because we think of kindness, and you might just think of a big smile or somebody who's a pushover or super agreeable. But I don't think that's what it means to be kind. I don't think that's what Jesus modeled it meant to be kind, I guess.
Yeah, I think Eugene Peterson puts it well in The Message. He takes this love is patient, love is kind, and he kind of expands upon it. But for love is kind, he defines it this way, or says it this way, I should say. Love cares more for others than for self. And I think there's a piece of that that we think kindness is, I'm just going to tell you, Andrew, everything you want to hear. That's me being kind. I don't tell you things that are true. I don't tell you things that may cause pain or discomfort. I only tell you things you want to hear. Well, that's not putting you know, in your, you know, caring for you more than I care for myself, because I'm just trying to avoid conflict. But I can speak truth to you in such a way with great care and love, that is going to come across in a way that I'm genuinely trying to be kind to you in this moment. So, like, here's a good example. And I think this example comes from, there's a book called The Most Excellent Way to Lead by Perry Noble. It was written, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. We'll link it in the show notes. But he kind of takes 1 Corinthians 13 and breaks it apart from a leadership perspective of this is how we lead well. And he shares a story, and I'll just paraphrase the story to retell it, about this principle of being kind. And one of the things is, you know, say Sally, we'll pick on Sally again. Poor Sally.
Sorry, Sally.
We really, really tear into you. But we'll pick on Sally again. So Sally makes this gluten-free, sugar-free banana bread. Try it for the first time. She's never really cooked it before, and she wants to test it out on you. So she brings it to you, and she's like, man, I worked so hard on this. I think I figured it out. It's so good. And she gives you a slice, and you're like, it's gluten-free. It's going to suck, but whatever. I'm going to be kind and show her and take a bite. So I take a bite, and it's terrible. terrible. It's the worst thing that I've ever tasted. I think she like put dog poop in it. It's so bad. But I put a nice face on and I chew it and I swallow it. And I say, oh man, that is, that's so good. I'm so glad that you made that. I think you're right. I think you're onto something. And then time goes on. And now she wants to make this for the entire family. We're talking the extended family, everybody. We're talking hundreds of people. She's going to make this for. And she starts the word going around of, hey, the family reunion's coming up and I'm bringing my famous, it's super healthy banana bread. And you know, Uncle Larry hears of all this, and Uncle Larry's kind of the matriarch, or the whatever the man version of matriarch is.
Patriarch
of the family. And he gets Sally up there and says, guys, Sally has brought her healthy banana bread. You can eat as much of it as you want, and makes this big deal out of it. And they start divvying out slices, and Uncle goes, hey, everyone, we're going to take the first bite all together. So nobody eat. It's kind of like communion. They did communion together, and they replaced the wafer with the banana bread.
Yes.
And they all eat at the same time. And it kind of starts in the back, and people start throwing up in the back because it tastes like dog poop still. And it kind of works its way forward. And here is Sally in front of hundreds of her family members, completely humiliated because you chose not to be kind and tell her the truth. That, hey, Sally, I know you tried really hard on this. I know that you put a lot of time into it and you were trying to figure this out. But this doesn't taste good, and here's why I don't think it tastes good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's true kindness. And this goes along with the verses. Like, there's a level of truth that we want to function inside of, but we don't function inside of truth without love surrounding it completely. I think that's why the way that this verse structure is built is love in all these ways. Mm-hmm. We still take pleasure in truth, and then we continue to love in these ways. And I think oftentimes we take the other approach of, well, because of truth, I just have to tell you the truth and not care about you as a human being. I'm no longer caring more about you than I'm caring about myself, because truth is the most important thing in the entire world. And Jesus is very clear. It's not. Love is more important than the rest of these.
Yep.
That was a long story and rant, but I think he gets the point across.
Poor Sally, man. She tried so hard on that banana bread, but you're right.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Sally's never made anything good. Like,
it's not your fault, Sally. It just happens. Yeah,
have you ever had her chicken marsala? Ugh.
It is bad. No, man. I think that's good. And just to, obviously, we're not like an all politics show, but that is a big issue right now in our country. And I think whether you're Republican or Democrat, an independent Green Party person or whatever you are, like, right now, it's really, really, really easy to not to just interject your beliefs in a really passionate way to anybody who's talking about it. So, like, I think the way to be kind, maybe, or a way to be kind that I'm at least trying to do in this season is, like, I'm trying to just not interject my belief that often. Like, I have strong beliefs, and I do care about politics. It's fascinating to me because I think it's a way to kind of understand what people across our country are thinking and where our culture is. It's a good lens to look through. But I get that a lot of people, if you disagree with them about one thing, then they feel like you just stabbed them. You know, they feel like that's like violent against them. So one small thing I'm trying to do that I hope people perceive as kind is trying to just be willing to listen and be totally open to whatever opinions I'm hearing and not necessarily interject right away with, well, let me tell you what I think about that, or let me tell you why you're wrong. Or, you know, it'd be real easy to say, well, that's really dumb and uninformed, and this is why. Like, all of those things could be true. Maybe you're listening to an opinion that's super uninformed from your perspective, or just is uninformed. But if we're here to represent Jesus, if we're here to live into the kingdom of God, then this attribute of love that's demonstrated through kindness, like, this just isn't the season to say, I'm just going to crush this person politically and make them feel bad personally. Like, that doesn't win anybody for, first of all, it doesn't win a vote, doesn't win any influence, but more importantly, it definitely breaks relationship.
Wins a vote for the other side.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it solidifies it the other way. But like, you know, back to that kind of patience discussion we had, it's like you're breaking the chance at further relationship by saying like, oh, let me tell you how dumb and wrong that is. Like, no, it's a lot easier, requires a bit more restraint, but a kind thing might often be in this scenario just to say, I just don't have to interject my opinion. If you ask me for it, I'm happy to give it in an honest way. If you ask me if the banana bread was good, I'm going to give you clear feedback of like, I don't need to crush Sally by saying, hey, that tasted horrible. I can't believe you even cooked something so bad. No. But you can be like, hey, you know what? I actually think normal banana bread's a lot better and wasn't quite sweet enough. And here's some of the flavors I got. Like, just, I wouldn't cook it again that exact same way, but maybe tweak it and try again. You know, like you could do that. Cause it's kind, it's honest. It's, that's how you're being kind, is by being truthful. So I don't know, man, it's just easy right now to want to jump into every argument online or to, jump down people's throats when you're in person and somebody feels the opposite way, thinks the opposite way about politics. But I don't think that's kind. I don't think it's what Jesus would do, you know?
No.
If you had a WWJD bracelet, you could break it out right now, throw it on.
And there's plenty of times that I'm on Facebook reading something and I'm like, oh, heck no. I'm about to post on this one. And then you got to stop yourself of like, one, horrible medium to have these types of conversations in. Two, I'm not going to convince him in this moment, as elegant as I think my words are. And three, he's an idiot and he's not going to understand anyways. Just kidding. But like, that's the reality of it. And I think too, there's a piece of kindness that we fear of getting trampled over if we're too kind to people. We fear that we're going to be harmed in the midst of our kindness. And the reality is those fears are probably true. But it doesn't mean we stop doing it. Like, I think of Jesus at the moment of his arrest. So here's Judas, one of his disciples, have been traveling with him now for years. They've been doing everything together. Like, he's one of the 12. He's right there with Jesus 24/7 for the most part. And here he comes with these religious leaders to have him arrested and eventually executed. And comes up, the other disciples around him, one of them pulls out his sword, goes to cut off Judas's ear, is successful at it. And Jesus, in that moment, knowing that he just got betrayed by one of his closest people, could have been like, yeah, you freaking deserve that. But instead of that posture, he showed kindness in that moment. He grabbed the gentleman's ear, which means he had to physically touch him and put his ear back on to heal him. So essentially it's, here's my enemy of enemies in this moment. And in this moment, I'm going to show great care and I'm going to show great kindness and I'm going to do what's right. And I think that's, I think it's easy for us to look at verses like that, and there's plenty of them, of, you know, as you were saying, with the healing of leopards and healing the blind, there's plenty of things that, that Jesus did to show kindness, and they're all throughout scripture. But, like, I think it's easy for us to look at that and say, well, that's Jesus. Like, sure, Jesus can do that. You're like, yeah, I get it. It's Jesus. But he's also the example that, like, that's why he came to earth, right? He was setting a very clear example to us. He could have came down for a day, did what he needed to do, and then died on the cross and took care of it. But he didn't. He came down to establish his disciples, to establish his church, to show us this new kingdom and how it's lived, so we can have the full life that he promised us. And I think we often miss that and go, well, I'm just not Jesus, so I'm not going to do that. Or you go again and say, no, well, Jesus got angry. You're like, sure, he did, and we have an example of that. And we'll get to those verses a little bit later when we talk about love is slow to anger. But anger, like, I think you're trying to find justification oftentimes for you not to be kind rather than choosing to put others before ourselves. And I think when you start to live in that area, we start to live in sin. When I start to justify, we justify our sin all the time, and this is just another example of that. But to justify this sin, we're not living in deep relationship with Jesus. We're not living a deep relationship with each other. And that's causing strife and disconnection and essentially sin in our lives. So I think you got to be careful in how we show kindness. and not, and it's not a facade of kindness. We talked about this with patients too, right?
Yeah.
Like this love cannot be faked. Like it's just not a part of how this works. Like I can fake kindness to you, but like, let's be honest, people are smart. They know it's being faked. They know I'm not genuinely caring about them as a human being. I'm not seeing them as a human being. Going back to the political thing, like no one sees each other as a human being when politics are discussed. Like we're talking about issues and we're going for it. I'm going to win this argument.
Yeah.
And I miss the person that's standing in front of me. So I think there's a big piece of kindness that we miss when we choose not to see the people in front of us as human beings that I should deeply care for, as Jesus saw human beings who's deeply cared for. Kind of goes back to the patience thing of I can't show patience if I don't see you as a human being that Jesus deeply loves. Like if you're just a task, you're going to help me accomplish something. I'm missing out on so much relationship in life because I'm too focused on what's in front of me rather than you as a human being.
Yeah. And like going back to that, I think that example you used, isn't it like, didn't John grab a sword and cut one of the soldier's ears off? Was that right? In that, like in the arrest story, wasn't it? So like, if you think about it in the perspective of the soldier, he was going out in his mind to arrest a criminal, you know? And basically like, that's what part of what soldiers did. Like so in that guy's mind, it was just like, fight on, you know, this is going to get bloody. And that was probably normal business, you know? But
that's probably true.
But when you're looking at that through Jesus's eyes, he knew that dude's story fully and was like, no, this is another chance for me to like blow somebody's mind with kindness, like real kindness of like, whoa, everybody settle down. I'm literally going to heal this dude's ear. I'm going to put it back on.
Yeah.
And that guy, when he sees me die in a few days, like think of what his story might've been, you know, of like, that guy's the real deal. We just killed the savior of man. We killed somebody who's not a normal dude.
Well, not only him too. It's they're going to come with a group of guards. It's not going to be one guy just waddling on by himself. Like you said, he thought he was coming with the, to arrest a criminal. So that's the posture that they're taking. Yeah. So it's not just the example to that one soldier, it's the example to everyone around him, and even Judas, right? Like Judas eventually hangs himself because he realizes what he came to do. Or what his actions caused. And, and you know, Peter too, like Peter cutting off the dude's ear. Like there's that piece of it too, of like, you just watched your anger took over and you tried to defend what you thought was the right thing to do.
Right.
And Jesus essentially redefined the kingdom again, and showed you, here's the real posture we're supposed to take.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of goes back to our earlier conversation too, of, you know, who's in office and priorities and all those kinds of things. Like, here's a moment for Peter that he's learning of, this is seems terrible. This seems like the most important thing in front of me right now.
Right.
But Jesus is trying to say, in the grand scheme of things, this is just one step to a greater glory.
Yeah.
Like, chill your horses. It's okay. I'm still in control.
Yeah. The attributes of the kingdom of heaven are more important than the circumstances of this moment you just experienced. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's actually more important to consistently and authentically demonstrate kindness, demonstrate patience, demonstrate all the other characteristics we're going to talk about, to show love and to do it.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can't just fake it. Like, and I don't say this all from a perspective of being always kind. It's not true. I'm not always kind. Like, and I put my foot in my mouth a lot and regret it, you know, in moments when I'm unkind. But the ability to show authentic kindness from a place of like, I know God, I know Jesus, they're kind to me, you know, like Jesus sets an example of how I'm to live. And through God's power, through his grace in my life, I'm able to live these things out and look radically different. One example, I remember reading about this. It was probably 6 months ago when I read about this, but I think it was a story from a while before that. But there was a shooting in an Amish community in Pennsylvania. And somebody went in and shot, I think like 3 or 4 children died. It was like a radical shooter went in and shot 3 or 4 kids in, I believe, a school. And the Amish community that was in, they stood up that day, united, and said, we forgive him. We don't want charges pressed against him. We want him to know Jesus. We forgive him, you know, and like meant it. And it was just like not, obviously not to be manipulative. Obviously, they're mourning what just happened. Like they just lost kids. They got killed, you know, when they shouldn't. And it's like everybody, our natural instinct is like, yeah, kill that guy. He deserves to die so the public can see in a bad way. Yeah. And it's like, no, when like that forgiveness, actual forgiveness is like, well, I've been forgiven deeply of my sin. I've been forgiven deeply of the things that I did against God. So I have to be able to show that to other people. And it's brutal. And I wouldn't want anybody I know to have to be in that scenario of choosing, do we go out and say, give him what he deserves or forgive him, you know? But like, but I think that's the depth of authenticity you can have of like, no, I truly believe that I need to be kind. So I'm going to physically heal this person's ear in God's power, you know? Like, but for most of us, I think the normal reaction would be like, oh, good. He lost one ear. Knock off the other one. Maybe the head. Like that's good, you know. But that's not what Jesus did in the moment. So I don't know, man. It's possible. Is all I'm trying to say. The kingdom of God is here, and it's possible to live in it. It's not easy.
Well, and I think that's where we find that full life is when we choose to live in it and lean into it. And you know, Jesus was very clear: when someone strikes you on one side, turn to them the other cheek. And that seems stupid. That seems irresponsible. That seems destructive. It seems like it could be extremely threatening to our well-being. But that's the posture that we're to take. So then, when I'm taking that posture, what I'm telling myself is, who's in control? Like, is God in control still, even though bad things are happening to me, or is this individual that are causing bad things the person in control? No, God's still in control. He can redeem anything. I shouldn't live in worry. I shouldn't live in fear. And I think there's a piece of that too. But I think to sum up our entire conversation, since we've kind of been a little bit all over the place. Like, as you're functioning and going through life, the question you should be asking yourself is, am I putting the care for this individual above myself in this moment? So when you're questioning, is this care, is this kindness? Well, kindness is putting the care of that individual, and care looks in a variety of different ways. It's what's best for that individual. And not being an asshole is a big piece of that. Even if you are right, like that's not kindness. Like truth does not beat out love. Like love beats out truth. I think the gospel writers and Jesus himself were very clear. It's grace and truth. And it wasn't truth then grace. I think there's an order to it. That if we can't show, if we can't show grace, we're not going to be able to show truth well either. And I think that's where we live, is trying to do relationship better and trying to show, love, through our kindness.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think that's a great like barometer to go from of, am I putting other people's needs in front of mine? You know, am I choosing to be kind when I could be not kind? You know, because it's a choice. It's always a choice. And and you don't need to be a doormat. You don't need to just have a great smile on all the time or a fake smile on all the time. But, you know, back to some of the examples we gave, like you can be legitimately kind in a very, very clear way, in a very authentic way. And it, you know, and it's obviously not for just the point of looking good. It's for the point of making Jesus look good. It's for the point of pointing people back towards God, of saying like, well, how the heck are you living like that? It's like, well, because that's how Jesus lived. And I know God through his example, you know?
And I think too, like, one of the interpretations of Paul's writing about looking to the next life, like live this life for the next life, and kind of how he explains those things. I think there's a principle inside of that of just pulling yourself out of the situation that's right in front of you that seems to be the most important situation to do what's right in terms of like truth needs to be spoken or however you want to you know, whatever you want to throw in there. And I think there's a real key of pulling yourself out of that situation to be able to see the big picture, like going back to Peter cutting off the guy's ear. Like, it's pulling back and seeing the big picture. The big picture is there's a kingdom being established here. There's relationships that are going to be established here. You're about to introduce something that's going to bring hope and a future to so many different people through the gospel. And there's a bigger picture here. So this is how we live it, so we can live out the bigger picture. I know my arrest, my death is right in front of us. I know that feels like the most important thing, but that's not the big picture. Can you pull yourself out, focus on the next life, and focus on the big picture? And I think we can do that in our daily lives as well, in terms of even the little things of like, I'm going to show kindness in this moment. Kindness in this moment, like, how do I show it? Truth is important, but relationship is more important than truth.
That's right.
So how do we live inside a relationship so I can speak truth because I have influence and authority to do so in a kind and caring way? I think we get those mixed up all the time, that as long as I'm speaking truth, then everything's good. And truth outside of kindness is just destructive.
Yeah.
Doesn't help anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So last episode, and I'll let you go in just a minute here, man. But last episode, we talked about kind of patience, you know, ask God for a chance to demonstrate it. And also ask him, when you're impatient, Lord, would you reveal why I was impatient in that? With kindness, I don't have that clear of a challenge, but I know that you're probably, if you're listening, you're probably going to hear something or see something about politics that you deeply disagree with, no matter which side you're on. And maybe a small challenge is just value the individual more than the thing that they just said. Choose to be kind. Choose to reach out to care for them, whether you agree with them about Trump or about whoever else, doesn't matter. Choose to reach out of love and be kind to them, because I think we need it, man. I think this has been a hard year for most people in our country and a lot of people around the world. So we could use a little more kindness right now, and we could definitely use some more love that comes from an authentic place. So that's what I got.
No, that's good. That's good.
Thanks for listening to our show. It means a lot to us, and we hope that by listening, you grow closer in your relationship with Jesus and with others.
And please help us out with rating our podcast or leaving us a review on the platform you're listening to if it lets you do that. You can also follow us on Instagram, and please share us with your friends. This helps us share this message of hope that is found in Jesus and his gospel, a message that has the potential to change the lives of the people around you.
And we want to hear from you. You can email us at hello@thisjesuslifepodcast.com, message us on Instagram, or just catch up with us online on our website, where you can view our show notes and all the links to the things we talk about at thisjesuslifepodcast.com. Thanks for listening to our show.